Morning, would you pray with me? God of peace and love, we pray that you would open our hearts to hear your word, our lives to be obedient to your word, and our spirits to be faithful to your word and what you have to say to us today. We praise you, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to start by playing a little game. I have some pictures I'm going to put up on the screen. And as a picture comes up, if this is something that gets you excited, this is something you're like, I really love this. Like, I want to let everyone know that this is something that matters to me. I would like you to stand. You could raise your hand, give a little shout. Like, let us know that this is something you're excited about. So we're going to start with the first one. Yes. Now, this one's extra special. This is my brother's puppy. This is my nephew puppy, Rowdy. I love showing people this picture. So we love puppies. What's next? Kittens. We have some standing. We have some real cat people here. This is controversial. Puppies, kittens. What do we have next? Chocolate chip cookies. We love that. Okay, Aaron's getting excited over here. What else do we have? Deep dish pizza. Not just any pizza, but some Chicago deep dish pizza. We have some fans of that. What about the Cubs? Yes, we have people who love the Cubs. What else do we have? Roller coasters. Who likes roller coasters here? Okay, I see some hands up. What else do we have? Taylor Swift? Okay, this one's really controversial. I hear some people negatively cheering. Okay, well, this is for a different generation, the Beatles. I had to be fair generation-wise, Taylor Swift, the Beatles. What else do we have? Chick-fil-A? Okay, this one was for Ben Franklin. I know that Ben likes Chick-fil-A. What else do we have? This is for our Pokemon Club. I know we have a lot of those people here. There they are. There's our Pokemon Club. What else do we have? Okay, the Bears. We have some fans. Is that the last one? Is there more? Oh, coffee. Just coffee in general. Where are coffee drinkers? Yes. Who had coffee before coming here this morning? Yes, some people have it in their hands. I had coffee. So these are all things that we get excited about, things that when we are talking to other people and meeting them, we bond over liking chocolate chip cookies and swapping recipes. We bond over the teams that we love. We want to share that. We get excited. We had standing and shouts of praise. We almost can't help it if these are things that we feel almost a little bit loyal to. This is the kind of energy that these last five psalms carry us into, of singing praise to God because of who God is. These last five psalms are together considered the conclusion of the whole book of Psalms. And they help us to review all the ways we've just learned about God's character and God's works. And each of these psalms begins and ends with the same word, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And these psalms we're invited to consider what the character and action of God that we've learned about stirs up in us. How do you respond when you hear who God is? How do you respond when you hear what God has done? Do you feel moved in your soul? Does it stir up praise? Does it make you want to stand and shout, to lift up your hands in worship? We're going to look at each of these psalms and their call to praise, and I'll offer some thoughts about each one, but because they are psalms of praise, we're going to responsively read each of them as we walk through. And I hope that you'll feel this overwhelming invitation to praise the Lord. And kids, I have a special task for you. In these five psalms, it says the word praise a lot of times. So I want you to keep count. Keep count of how many times you hear the word praise when we read the psalms together. And come and tell me after, and I have something for you. So we're going to start with Psalm 146. God commands us to praise because God is just. This psalm, we see a contrast between God's rule and human rule. The psalmist says we should put our trust not in princes or human leaders because they are mere mortals. They cannot save. Their plans will come to nothing. Their ways are not just. Instead, the psalmist says we should put our trust in God, and those who do are blessed because they find their help in God. They put their hope in God. In the second half of the psalm, it expands on how God can be trusted at all times to bring all of creation to a good end. We see the impact of God's character on the world bringing about justice. In the whole second half of the psalm, God is the actor, the subject of what is happening. God is the one who upholds the cause of the oppressed. God gives food to the hungry. God sets the prisoner free. God gives sight to the blind. God lifts up the lowly. God loves the righteous. God watches over the foreigner. God sustains the orphan and the widow. God frustrates the ways of the wicked. God reigns forever. God acts in care for these people whose conditions are created or made worse by the unjust attitudes and practices of the earthly rulers that the psalmist says we should not trust. The psalmist says we can't trust earthly rulers to save us, to fix these circumstances that only God is able to address. So instead, we trust God because God alone is a just ruler. And the sentiment of the psalm is not just that God cares in general, but that God acts justly to meet the exact needs of the world's most vulnerable. And in this psalm, the righteous are those who trust in God and are allied with God's work of justice in the world. And the wicked are those who trust in human rulers and are allied with their unjust ways. And so in this call to praise, we are faced with the question of in whom will we trust? The God of justice or the mortal rulers of this world? So let us stand as you are able and read responsibly this call to praise because God is just. And kids, remember to keep count how many times you hear the word praise. You all will say the bold words. Praise the Lord. Let all that I am,
praise the Lord.
I will,
praise the Lord, as long as I live.
I will,
sing praises to my God with my dying breath.
Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for them there. When they breathe their last, they will return to the earth and all their plans will die. He made the heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them.
He
gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry.
The Lord frees the prisoners.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind.
The Lord lifts up those who are weighed down.
The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord protects the foreigners among us.
He cares for the orphans and widows, but he frustrates the plans of the wicked.
The Lord will reign forever.
He will be your God, O Jerusalem, throughout the generations.
Praise the Lord.
You may be seated. Now we come to Psalm 147, which commands us to praise because God cares for us. This psalm praises how God cares for us both universally and particularly. The psalm moves back and forth between describing God's faithfulness to Israel throughout their history and God's ongoing care and rule over creation. We see this in verses 2-6 of God restoring the people who had been exiled, followed by God numbering the stars and knowing them by name. And then at the end of the psalm, we see this particular and universal view again of God protecting the people of Israel, followed by how God commands the weather. God is the creator of the whole universe and all the stars, and God has numbered the stars and knows them each by name. And likewise, God knows each of us. God has not lost track of you. The psalmist says that God's understanding has no limit. We are really limited in who we can keep track of, but God keeps track of us all. Indeed, everything in the universe, not just the people, but every single star. And he knows us each by name. For the people in Israel coming out of exile, what an important reminder of God's care. J. McClinton McCain Jr. writes, "The force that drives the universe, producing rain and snow and heat and cold, is not just something we observe and experience, but someone we know. At the heart of the biblical faith is the astonishing claim that the power that has strewn the stars into their courses is the same power that, or better, who, heals the brokenhearted, lifts up the downtrodden, and declares an intelligible, personal, life-giving word to Israel. In short, our trust, indeed our only hope, is that the power behind the universe has a personal face that is turned toward us in steadfast love." McCain describes so well this interplay of God's particular and universal care for us and how they impact each other. What beautiful way to know that God, who creates the whole universe, knows us each by name. The face that is turned toward us in love is the God who cares for us, the God in whom we can trust. We can put our hope in this unfailing love of a God who cares. Let us stand as you are able and read responsibly this call to praise, because God cares for us. And kids, remember to keep adding to the words the number of times we say praise. Praise the Lord. How good to sing.
Praise to our
how delightful and fitting. The Lord is rebuilding Jerusalem and bringing the exiles back to Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. He counts the stars and calls them by name. The Lord supports the humble, but he brings the wicked down into the dust.
Sing out your thanks to the Lord. Sing praises to our God with a harp.
He covers the heavens with clouds, provides rain for the earth. He makes the grass grow in mountain pastures. He gives food to the wild animals and feeds the young ravens when they cry. He takes no pleasure in the strength of a horse or in human might. Glorify the Lord, O Jerusalem.
Praise your God, O Zion.
For he has strengthened the bars of your gates and blessed your children within your walls. He sends peace across your nation and satisfies your hunger with the finest wheat. He sends his orders to the world. How swiftly his word flies. He sends the snow like white wool. He scatters frost upon the ground like ashes. He hurls the hail like stones. Who can stand against his freezing cold? Then at his command, it all melts. He sends his winds and the ice thaws. He has revealed his words to Jacob, his decrees and regulations to Israel. He has not done this for any other nation. They do not know his regulations.
Praise the Lord.
You may be seated. And then we come to Psalm 148, the middle of these five psalms that McKenna read for us. This psalm commands us to praise because God reigns over all. This psalm focuses on God's universal sovereignty and therefore calls for a universal response of praise. This call to praise is split into two main parts. First, the psalmist calls the heavens and the earth to praise God, and then the earth and the sea creatures below. So first, the psalmist calls the heavens and the heights above to praise God. The psalmist calls on angels and heavenly hosts, the sun and moon, shining stars, the highest heavens, the waters above the skies. All of this describes the ancient Near Eastern concept of the whole heavenly realm, meaning that all of the heavenly realm is called on to praise God because God created all of this. And second, the psalmist calls for the earth and the ocean depths to praise God. So we move in both directions. God calls on the sea creatures, the lightning, the snow, winds, mountains, cattle, birds, rulers and nations, young and old, men and women. We can imagine that these lists could go on and on. We are prompted to recognize this is a universal call for every creature, every created element, people of every status and place. We are all invited to join the ancient song of praising God. Walter Brueggemann and William Bellinger write that this psalm invites us to call to mind the encyclopedic knowledge of creation. All of creation tells us why we ought to praise God. Everywhere we look, all we have to do is look around, to look at each other's faces, to look up at the stars, to look at the splendor of a snowflake. All of creation bears witness to God's eternal reign. God alone commands the heavens and the earth. God alone rules above all created things. Let us stand as you are able and responsively sing, read this call to praise because God reigns over all. Praise the Lord. From the heavens. From the skies,
praise him.
All his angels,
praise him.
All the armies of heaven,
praise him.
Sun and moon,
praise him.
All you twinkling stars,
praise him.
Skies above,
praise him.
Vapors high above the clouds, for he issued his command and they came into being. He set them in place forever and ever. His decree will never be revoked.
Praise the Lord from the earth.
You creatures of the ocean depths, fire and hail,
snow and clouds,
wind and weather,
mountains and hills,
fruit trees and cedars,
wild animals and livestock,
small scurrying animals and birds,
kings of the earth, all people,
rulers and judges of the earth,
men and women,
old and young, for his name is very great. His glory towers over the earth and heaven. He has made his people strong, honoring his faithful ones, the people of Israel who are close to him.
Praise the Lord.
You may be seated. And next we turn to Psalm 149, which commands us to praise because God is victorious. This psalm stumps a lot of scholars and has led to lots of opinions about its place among these final hallelujah psalms, because it starts with praising God and then it moves to talking about God's vengeance. It seems a little out of place with the rest of the psalms we've been reading so far. However, I think if we read this psalm in light of these other praise psalms, these confusing verses about vengeance continues to point to the same theme of God's justice, God's care, and God's rule. And so like the other psalms, this one begins with praising God. The psalmist says we praise God because God takes delight in his people, because God alone adorns those who suffer with victory. The people are called to make music and dance with praise. They're called to sing for joy in their beds. We might see this as a way of saying that the people can praise God's rule and victory at all times in all places, whether publicly gathered or alone in our rooms. But then the psalm takes this unusual turn to talk about people not only having praise in their mouths, but a double-edged sword in their hand with which they will execute vengeance and punishment, bind kings and nobles in shackles, and bring about justice. It feels a little out of tone with the rest of what we've been talking about. And this psalm has been used throughout history to justify violence against perceived enemies of God. But this is not a call to violence in the name of God. This is not a license for the powerful to take justice into their own hands. The psalm says it's the humble, the disempowered of this world who put their trust in God, who will be given victory. And those who trust in God will know God's justice and join God's work of pursuing justice in the world. However, in the end, and as we see all throughout the Psalms, in the end, justice belongs to God alone. Therefore, it is not the faithful who will say they have achieved victory, but God. And those who are humble and put their trust in God will share in this victory over the powers of evil and the rulers of the world. We will rejoice in our Maker as he crowns us with victory. Let us stand as we are able and read responsibly this praise, because God is victorious. Praise the Lord. O Israel, rejoice in your Maker. O people of Jerusalem, exult in your King.
Praise his name with dancing, accompanied by tambourine and harp.
For the Lord delights in his people. He crowns the humble with victory.
Let the faithful rejoice that he honors them. Let them sing for joy as they lie on their beds. Let the praises of God be in their mouths.
And a sharp sword in their hands, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with shackles and their leaders with iron chains, to execute the judgment written against them.
This is the glorious privilege of the faithful ones. Praise the Lord.
You may be seated. Do you feel like you're getting your exercise this morning? Finally, we come to the last psalm in the book, Psalm 150. Which commands us to praise because God is always worthy of praise. This psalm is also split into two main sections: why we worship God and how we worship God. And if you were listening to Tirsa with the children's sermon, this is how we framed exploring the Psalms with the children this summer. We explored why we worship God and how we worship God. Each week we explored this, but we always came to the same conclusion. God is good every day, so every day I worship God. Frederico Villanueva writes that Psalm 150 holds all the motivations for praise from the previous psalms in its memory. Meaning this psalm invites us to call to mind all that we have come to know about God throughout the whole book of Psalms. And in this calling to mind, our only response ought to be praise, because God is always good. To help us call to mind what we have learned about through this psalm series, about why we worship God and how we worship God, I thought I would review our main children's sermons points from throughout the series. As we read these, pay attention to what stirs in you. So we'll look at why we worship God and then how we worship God. We talked about how I worship God because God takes care of me, because God can hold all of my feelings, because God's kingdom is for everyone, because God is my safe place, because God will make everything right, because God forgives all my sins, because God promised a perfect king, because God knows the right way to go, because God watches over me, because God's love lasts forever, because God made me. And we also thought about how we worship God. We said, I worship God by knowing God's word, by telling God when I hurt, by looking for God at work, by trusting God no matter what, by wanting to be with God more than anything else, by singing joyfully, and as we talked about today, by praising God for all that God has done. And these are just the reasons and ways we worship based on the Psalms we covered this summer. These lists could go on and on and on, because God is good every day, so every day I worship God. Psalm 150 has us look back across the entire collection of the Psalms and remember the goodness of God. There are countless reasons why we worship God. God is worthy of our worship and praise every day, all the time. And so as we come to the end of the Psalms, we are invited with the psalmist to grab our instruments, to hear who God is and what God has done, to raise our hands, to stand up, to give a shout, to make music and sing joyfully, to feel something stir in our souls. So I wonder, how will you respond? These psalms are an ongoing call to praise God. So I wonder in your own life how you would complete these sentences that we did with the children. I worship God because, I worship God by. What do you worship God for? How do you worship God? Let us conclude by standing and reading this call to praise from Psalm 150, because God is always worthy of praise. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
In his sanctuary.
Praise him.
In his mighty heavens.
Praise him.
For his mighty works.
Praise.
His unequaled greatness.
Praise him.
With a blast of the ram's horn.
Praise him.
With the lyre and harp.
Praise him.
With a tambourine and dancing.
Praise him.
With strings and flutes.
Praise him.
With a clash of cymbals.
Praise him.
With the loud clanging cymbals.
Let everything that breathes praises the Lord.
Praise the Lord. O God, we praise you that you are worthy of our praise all the time. We could go on and on proclaiming why we praise you, for the things that you have done in our lives, in the world, as we look around us at all that you have made, as we look into the eyes of one another, as we look at the detail of the created world. God, we thank you that you are just, that you care, that you reign forever. And so, God, we worship you. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.